There we go. Okay, great. So make sure that you register. Registration is actually open. And make sure that you are able to register by going online. Well, today we're going to... How are we doing here? Do we need to turn these mics off or are we good? Okay. So we're continuing our series on love. And today we're going to talk about bringing back the loving feeling. You know, every relationship needs love to maintain. You can't have any relationship long term without love. Children need love from their parents, and vice versa. Parents need love from their children. Especially in a marriage, you need love. But marriage is going to last through the years. You're going to have ups and downs in that marriage. It's not always going to be smooth sailing. And you need love. And sometimes the love in a marriage can get challenging, right, married couples? Sometimes it can get challenging. And then what do? You know, and there are many songs that address this issue of the loss of love or the decline in love. And one of my favorites is "You've Lost That Loving Feeling." This is by the Righteous Brothers. And so, you know, Rob and I are celebrating 23 years next month. And if not that this has ever happened between the two of us, but if it ever got bad, I would sing this. You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby, I know it. You've lost that loving feeling. Whoa, that loving feeling. You've lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone. Whoa. All right. So, this is how we would try to connect with each other. And in this song, I like this song because it's the guy telling his loved one that he's noticed that something has changed. Something is different. It's something is happening in the dynamic where that love, that feeling that he once had is no longer there. But later down, he says that he wants the love back. So it doesn't just end with things are really bad. He's like, he wants it back. And he says, baby, I get down on my knees for you. If you would only love me like you used to do. We had a love we don't find every day. So don't let it slip away. And he ends up by saying, I beg you, please, I need your love. So bring it on back. And he keeps repeating it over and over. Bring back the loving feeling. And I'm here to tell you, no matter how bad things may get in your marriage, or in any relationship that you have with a relative or a child, no matter how bad it is, you can bring that love back. You can. But the key is understanding that there's certain things that are going on that are destroying or harming the relationship that need to stop. And if you can identify those things that are harmful to the relationship, you can bring them to an end so that that loving feeling will come back. All right? So let's get into the Word now. You know, God always wants to have a healthy relationship with His church. And there are times when the love between God and His church has been on a high note. And then there are times when the love between God and His church has been on a low note. And sometimes it's good to look and ask, well, what happened? What happened? And the first thing, this is a very important theological point that we got to understand. The first thing to understand is that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And if you look in Revelation chapter 19, there in verse 6, it says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.'" So in these final chapters of Revelations, one of the last things to take place is this great union, this great wedding between Christ and His bride. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. And this takes place in the final chapters of Revelations. And it's important to understand that the Bible starts off with a marriage with Adam and Eve that ended not too good, but it ends with a marriage as well, with the wedding of Christ and His bride, the church. And so it's a very interesting analogy that throughout the scriptures, the church is always portrayed as the bride of Christ. And truly, it is the greatest romance story ever told, because Christ came to earth and sacrificed His life to win His church. He paid the ransom for the church with His own blood. And He is up in heaven right now, waiting for that day when all who are in His church will be united with Him for eternity. It is an eternal relationship that we are hoping for and that we can look forward to as part of Christ's church. And in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see when the church was fired up. This church in Acts chapter 2 was fired up. In verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So in this passage, these people, this was the first church community. It says that they were so excited about their relationship with God that they were the distinguishing feature of that church was its devotion. Devotion. And isn't that what separates a husband and a wife from all other relationships? It's the devotion. Robin expects me home every single day. You know what I'm saying? And it's right for her to expect me to be home. I don't skip a few days saying, "Well, I was with you for 5 days. Give me 2 days off." Right? That wouldn't work. The church in the first century, they were devoted. What were they devoted to? The apostles' teaching. Meaning they were devoted to what the apostles taught. They were devoted to the fellowship. They couldn't stop being together. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, which is remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And they were devoted to prayer. It was devotion that was a distinguishing characteristic of the first century church. And that church had an impact on the people who saw it, who were exposed to it. They started winning other people to Christ because of their zeal, because of their love and their enthusiasm. They were passionately involved in sharing the love of Christ that they had experienced with other people. And the church grew and spread. But you know, over the years, you can just read it in the book of Acts and in the New Testament that there were times when the love that the church had for Christ had dwindled. And if you look at Revelation chapter 3, in the first few chapters of Revelations, God sends different angels to speak to the different churches. He sent these angels to tell them where things were at with them. Where was the love? And some of the churches, they were doing very well. But other churches, they were not doing that well. And God sent an angel to tell them, listen, something's going on here. We got to deal with this problem. And in Revelation chapter 3, it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here's an interaction that Jesus is having through an angel. And these comments are directed to the disciples in Laodicea. Now, Laodicea was a city, and obviously the people, his church was there in that city. And he's telling the church in Laodicea, something's going on here, folks. You have lost the love and feeling. Okay? You've lost the love and feeling. Because you at one time were hot, and now you're not hot. Now, you're not really cold, you're lukewarm, but he's saying that's not acceptable. Having a lukewarm relationship with me is not acceptable. In fact, God finds a lukewarm disposition repugnant to him. He says, if you remain lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now that's how I feel when I eat peanuts by accident. The first thing I want to do is to get it out of my mouth. And that's how God feels about lukewarmness. Their relationship with Christ had declined into a state of being lukewarm. And we don't really know what's going or what specifically happened. We don't know how it happened, but we know that it happened. And sometimes we understand this whole notion of lukewarmness in a marriage. Where married couples stay together, but they don't really love each other. You've seen it. And sometimes the thinking is, well, we've been together all these years. Let's just stick it on out. There's some people who reason in themselves, we don't really love each other, but we're going to be together just for the kids. Right. Have you ever heard that? They found love before the kids came. And then now they're only being together for the sake of the kids. Some people stick together in a marriage because it's financially prudent to stay together. We need two incomes to pay for this lifestyle that we're living. To pay for the mortgage. We don't really love each other. But to maintain the lifestyle that we're living, let's stay together. That is a lukewarm love. And I know of people. I've seen that before. Growing up as a young boy. Seen people who I thought would love each other. But they were only there for other reasons, not for themselves. What's interesting is that the church in Laodicea was completely oblivious to their spiritual condition. Jesus said, "You are wretched, pitiful, poor, and blind." Now, they didn't realize that was how they looked spiritually. Because, you know, when you're wealthy, you can adorn yourself with a lot of things. You can look good. You can buy nice clothes. You can go on nice vacations, and outwardly you seem like if you have everything that you need. Sometimes when you're wealthy and you have everything that you need, you're blinded to the fact that you have spiritual needs that are being unmet. And wealth can deceive us into thinking that we're okay spiritually. The Laodicean church didn't have a clue as to where they stood before God. God had to send an angel to come and wake them up. And he said, this is how you look in my eyes. I'm just about getting ready to spit you out. But I'm going to give you a chance. You see, what he's saying is, what I hear Jesus is saying is, bring that love back. Come on, church, bring it back. That's what he's telling the Laodiceans. Just bring that love back. And what's he saying? What does he actually say? He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and wear and white clothes so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. So he's telling them what to do. He said, this is what you need to do. This relationship is not all completely done. There are things that you can do, church in Laodicea, to bring this love back. And so I want to talk about some of these things this morning. Because what we got to ask ourselves as a church is, have we lost that love and feeling? Have you lost that love and feeling towards Jesus? Are you here just because of you feel a burden or an obligation to be here? Or are you excited about developing your faith in Christ? Are you excited about having an impact for Christ? Or are you just here because other people expect you to be here and it's too embarrassing if you didn't come? You got to ask yourself, are you hot or lukewarm? I know none of you are cold, because if you were cold, you wouldn't be here. Now, you may be feeling cold physically on your journey in, but I'm talking about a spiritual coldness. You're here because you're looking for something. You want something, but the question is, are you looking for heat? Do you want to be hot? Because we can easily slip in to a very lukewarm existence and feel very comfortable as a church. How do you bring that love back? The first thing we got to talk about is, you bring back that loving feeling by devoting yourself to the Word of God. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, was with God in the beginning. Two verses. And these verses declare a profound theological truth. What is that truth? That God is the Word. And if I were to express that mathematically, which is not my strong point, I would just put God equals the Word. And so, if I believe that truth, which is what the Apostle John stated, then anytime I open my Bible, I am in direct communication with God. And that is what distinguishes the Scriptures from all other manuscripts on planet Earth. You can pick up a Shakespeare book, and that's Shakespeare's thoughts. An economics book or a calculus book. But when you open up the Bible, when you have the Bible in your possession, according to the Scriptures, the Word is God. We have God in our hands. And God has a message for us as individuals and as a church. God has a word in there for you specifically. And God knows exactly what you need. What we are reading when we open up the Bible is the living and active Word of God. And He speaks to us through His Word. And so if I'm going to get connected with God, I have to devote myself to God's Word. God's Word must be an important part of my day. His Word must saturate my mind. I must immerse myself in His Word. Because that's how I get to know Him. If I want to rekindle my relationship with God, the first place I must start is with His Word. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God? Do you have a deep desire to get to know your God through the Word He has revealed Himself to us through? See, it all starts there. My relationship with Robin began by communication, talking. She talking to me and me listening. That's how we developed our relationship. God is spirit. He's a person. If we want to have a relationship with Him, He must know that you desire to hear from Him. He knows exactly what we do with our time. From the time you wake up in the morning, He's right there. And every minute of the day that you have access to, it's because He's given it to you. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what do we do with our time? Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 129. He says, "Your statutes are wonderful." You can write them down because we got to clip through some of these things. "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands." That's Psalm 119, verse 129. "I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands." What an attitude! Is that our attitude when we wake up in the morning? Where's the Word of God? That's the attitude that God wants to see in all of us. Where is it? How much time do you spend reading the Bible? Think about it. Imagine if on a daily basis I told Robin, "Honey, you can only talk to me for 5 minutes. That's all I got time for." Robert would be calling Cedric, Sam Powell, Denton, she'd be like, no, this cannot work because Robin's got a lot to say on a daily basis to me. 5 minutes is just not going to cut it. And there are times when I've only given her 5 minutes and we've had to have some conversations that she needs more time, more of my time. And I'm like, okay, honey, let's talk. And there are times when I've not really paid Robin a lot of attention, I had to clear my schedule. And we have to go out someplace with nobody around and no phone ringing and no emails. And she tells me, turn off the emails. Don't send any texts because she wants my full attention. And sometimes I'm like, oh man, that's a tough thing, honey. I mean, but I get it. She wants my attention. What about God? Do you know God wants your attention? Have you given it to Him? You know, we went to see the Black Panther. Went to the Black Panther. We were so fired up. I paid $40-something for the tickets. Didn't bat an eye. For three tickets, yeah. We drove to Gabrielle's school. We picked her up right as school ended. We were hustling over there. We got into that cinema, man. That thing was 2 hours and 50 minutes long. I wanted to see it again. We're already talking in our family. Let's go see it again. I've already said I'm buying the DVD. It was so inspiring. I wasn't in the cinema looking at, hey, when's this going to end? Right? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you just gave God 2 hours of your time? And just say, you know what, man? I'm going to carve out these 2 hours. And I'm just going to immerse myself in the Word. I'm going to read the entire book of Matthew. And I'm going to be praying. I'm just going to immerse myself. Some of us are like, I ain't got time for that. Okay. I think God is worth it. And more. Think about how much time we spend on Facebook, on Instagram, texting our friends. Think about how much time we spend editing our selfies. Making sure those skin tones and those hues are all nice. That's what we devote ourselves to? Ourselves? You know what? I get it. We're just into self. I get it. This attitude of the psalmist does not come naturally. You got to work at it. But you can't work at it if you don't devote significant chunks of your time to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. All day long, he's thinking about the Word. You know, when you think about the Word all day long, it gets into your system. You start remembering scriptures like they are a part of your blood. You start talking to people and the scriptures just rolling out of your mouth. Why? Because you've been thinking about that thing all day long. Is this our disposition towards the Word of God? See, this is how we bring the love back. This is how we do it. And I want to encourage you, evaluate yourself. And ask yourself, what quality time have I given God on a daily basis? That's the question. And the truth is, it might mean that you're going to have to stop watching some TV. Golly gee. It might mean you might have to cut some things out. Like I said, love, restoring love is ceasing to do things that harm the relationship. And engaging in activities that enhance the relationship. If you want to enhance and strengthen your relationship with God, the first place it starts is with your daily devotion to His Word. You can take that to the bank. Trust me. If you start devoting yourself to God's Word, your relationship with Him will be completely transformed. You start seeing things in the Bible, you'll be like, I didn't even know this was in there. It will get you fired up as you get to know God and His Word. So the first thing is bringing the love back, is devoting yourself to the Word. The second thing that we're going to just talk about here is you bring the love back by obeying the Word of God. Look at John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my command. If you love me, you will obey my command. If you love me, keep my commands, in that translation. In John 15, verse 9, check this out. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Jesus' love language is obedience. It's obedience. I think sometimes we get this really messed up. We think that what Jesus is concerned about is how we look. Right. And so for some people, coming to church is a big thing. You know, we got to have the hat and we have to have the suit. And because that's what we think, that Jesus' primary concern is how we look outwardly. I think we can't really come to worship God in scrubs. You know, I mean, I get that. You want to look decent. But what Jesus' love language is obedience. It's not enough just to hear the Word of God. The test of our love is obeying the Word of God. And so, yeah, I'm standing up here preaching, and I'm a minister, but look, it's hard for me too to obey the Word of God. I have to deny myself. I need people in my life to help me to obey the Word of God. I'm thankful that I'm married to a spiritual woman who helps me to obey the Word of God. And we talk to each other about how we can obey the Word of God. It's not easy. It's not easy. But who said it would be? When you studied the Bible, did you hear, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake? No. What you heard was, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself and take up your cross. What? Daily. Daily. Remember that? You heard that, didn't you? Well, when did it stop? Never. Jesus' love language is obeying Him. Jesus is fired up when we choose to obey Him, when we eagerly desire to obey Him. It's not just about sitting down and listening to the Word. It's about going home and looking at it and asking yourself, what do I need to practice? Let's talk about some of His commands. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You can write that down. We're commanded to teach others to obey. Is there someone in your life teaching you the Scriptures? Are you involved in someone else's life, teaching them to obey? If you're not involved in this, okay, now you all got to hear me here. Because sometimes I think we hear, but we don't hear. Listen to me. If you're a disciple and you are not actively involved in inviting people into your life to teach you to obey, and if you are not seeking to help other people, you're not obeying the Scriptures. You're not obeying the Scriptures. If this is not a top priority in your life, you're not obeying the Scriptures. I don't understand how we can convince ourselves that we love God when this command we just neglect. What's Jesus' love language? Obedience. We got to talk to each other about these things. We got to ask each other, hey, how's it going obeying Matthew 28? And listen up for the answer. Let's have some conversations to help each other to be obedient children. You feeling me here, church? Matthew 5:23, Jesus says, if you're coming to the altar and you're giving a gift, and at that altar you realize there's something that's not reconciled between you and your brother. Jesus says, first go and reconcile with your brother. Read it when you go home. First go and reconcile with your brother. And then come back and offer the gift. Do you obey this scripture? I mean, are there people in your Bible talk or in the fellowship that you know you have something toward? You know it. When you see them, you feel it. But then you go, that's too complicated. You're not obeying the scriptures. This is not some small thing that we can ignore if we feel like. And look, I know it's tough. I met with a brother yesterday, and we were talking about some things that he needed to work out. And it was a tough conversation. It took time. It took effort. It took energy. But I know that if I didn't go to that brother and talk with him, I'm not obeying the scriptures. I'm not trying to help this brother in a godly way. If you know of somebody who's not talking to their brother or sister, and you know that this is a case that's happening, and instead of addressing this issue, we're high-fiving, slap, and talking about Black Panther, you're not helping this brother or sister. Are you feeling me, church? You see, if we don't stop doing the things that withdraw the love, we're not going to heal. We're not going to heal. If we're going to strengthen our walk with God, these are some things that we got to address to bring back that love and feeling. Amen? Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's right there. Don't even try to do it. Jesus already said, it cannot happen. Some of us are going, oh no, no! I can do it! No, you can't. You cannot serve both God and money. And when you look at how you prioritize your time, and when you examine your heart towards giving financially, you got to ask yourself, which master are you serving? Which master are you serving? You see, again, these things are no fun, right? This is not fun to talk about, right? This is not Black Panther. I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm not an entertainer. What's my role here? My role here is to help you see truth, accept truth, and obey truth. That's my role. Is it easy? Is it fun? No. But we've got to be honest with each other. We've got to be honest. We've got to speak the truth in love. And these are just some scriptures that we looked at. I think that they're important scriptures to look at and to use as an objective measure as to where we're at. Because we can easily be deceived. I can too. And so I need these scriptures as an objective measure to how I'm doing spiritually. And I got to apply these things to myself first. Because I know I can easily drift away. And what's God saying to us? Bring it on back. He's saying to us, we have a love. A love you can't find every day. And he's saying, just don't let it slip away. And so he's saying, bring back that love and feeling. Whoa, that love and feeling. Bring back that love and feeling, 'cause it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You see, the hope is, we can bring it back. Amen. And so these are just some of the commands that we are expected to obey. And I think that no matter how broken your relationship with God is, He wants us back. And let's bring it back. And if you're listening to this and maybe you don't consider yourself to be a part of this church or any church, but you know that there's something in your relationship with God that's broken, that needs repair. Don't ignore that. You're here for a reason. Talk to somebody who invited you here and get into the Word, and let's see how you can bring that love back to God. Amen. Let's have a closing song and have a great time of fellowship.